Morning, everybody. Sixth Sunday in Lent means we're nearly there. It's great to come together, and hopefully everybody's got a palm cross, yes? Thank you to my lovely assistants. And so welcome to our Palm Sunday service as we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Some call it the tearful entry. But it's 1 week before his glorious resurrection. And so this morning, as we worship, as it celebrates that day, are we prepared to journey with Jesus today, this coming week, to the cross, to that wonderful morning when Jesus appears to the women, to look at everything with him, to be transformed by him? We read in Luke that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation. And so as we prepare our hearts, the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem tells us that after his celebrated arrival, he went into the temple and looked around at everything. As we gather here for worship today, may it be with a sense that Jesus has walked in too and is looking around. May our eyes be open to see him. May our hearts be ready to be seen by him. May our worship be worthy of his presence. And may we be transformed so that we see the world through his eyes. Amen. And so we'll sing number 9, All Glory, Lord, and Honour. And Lord means to praise. So use your best praise voices as we prepare for worship. Thank you. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of all time, as we prepare to worship you today and through this coming week, help us to call to mind those events in Jesus' life so that we can see their significance for our present lives and for the future that you are preparing for all of your creation. We praise you, O God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. He entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along the way. Just as we carry these branches, may we follow Christ in the way of the cross, that dying and rising with him, we may enter into your kingdom through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you. Loving Father, as we journey with your Son in this week of remembrance and hope, help us to understand you and your love for the world more clearly. Transform us by the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and prepare us for service in your kingdom. Lord, like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and later pronounced, "Crucify him," we are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus' last week helps us to see ourselves for what we are, sinners in need of a Saviour. A Saviour, praise God, whom we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, Lord, we bring ourselves to you. We come in honesty and hope. We confess in our own hearts the times where we have let you down in this last week. We confess that maybe our praise of whom you are has often been half-hearted. Our performance as people of your kingdom somewhat lacking. That perhaps, Lord, we've sought our own way rather than yours. But we thank and praise you again that for our failures you died. For our restoration you rose again. Draw us closer to you in this holy week, that our eyes may catch the vision of your tears and our hearts the wonder of your grace. By your Holy Spirit's continuing discipline, let us be loyal and loving servants of the King. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God of all times and places. In Jesus Christ, lifted up on the cross, you opened up for us the path to eternal life. So grant that we, being born again of water and the Spirit, may joyfully serve you in the newness of life and faithfully walk in your holy ways through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we continue our praise as we sing our Hosannas 242. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I wanted to get us in the mood for the reading. As I'll probably say later, that we get an account of the triumphal entry through all four Gospels. And this morning we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark on page 1015. Mark chapter 11. And if we look at the preceding passages, they included miracles and lessons from Jesus. And Mark is very succinct in his gospel. He tells us as it is and nothing else. And so I always say look before and look after when we're reading a passage from God's word. Because what Mark has written sets up the stage for those last dramatic days of Jesus' earthly ministry. In chapter 11, Jesus enters Jerusalem to great fanfare and openly confronts local religious leaders for their hypocrisy. He approaches Jerusalem, which will be the scene for the last great act of his earthly life. And as I say, each of the Gospels record the entry, but they record them with slightly different bits of information. But we see as Jesus enters, as it marks his authority as Messiah, he is acclaimed as the Messiah, but he enters humbly, riding on a donkey. And so Tony will give us our reading.
The reading is Mark 11, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king, and it's found on page 1015 in the Church Bibles. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, tell them the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany with the 12. Thanks be to God.
Jesus' first task is to display his identity as the Messiah and the King of the Jews by riding a donkey or a colt, as we read, which echoes the words of Zechariah chapter 9. Coming down, if you remember my slides from a previous year, from the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem. And we read in the Gospels that his heart broke with the reality of how much his people needed a saviour. So this morning we're going to have a look at what does it mean when Jesus looked around at everything. What does that mean to us? We read that its human nature is such that on the day it can receive Christ with palms and rejoicing, and the next send him to the cross. Multitudes of people admire Christ, but few become consistent disciples. How about us? Are we just one of the admirers, or are we true disciples? Let's sing number 580, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those words, our minds go back again to those last days, Lord, of what would have been such an emotional time for you, for your disciples. And Lord, we think of the people that were just so unaware of what you came to do for each one of us. So Lord, as we come now, as we come with our New Testament eyes, Lord, open up our hearts again. Lord, in gratitude, in praise, but also, Lord, that we would be challenged and transformed by you. Bless us, I pray. Amen. I was thinking, if I said to you all, have a look around, and then I said to you, what do you see? I bet I'd get 30 different responses. Because each of you would look at different things, wouldn't you? You'd see something different. It's like sometimes when you lose something, you know, especially if there's a couple of you in the house, you know, one of you has a lady look and one of you has a man look. And we know what that means. As I said at the beginning, the events of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as many translations head this up, are very sensory. You can imagine the crowds, can't you, as we've heard the passage read to us, or as you've probably read it to yourselves. Perhaps we can hear the shouting of the crowds, you know yourselves, as I said before, if you're involved in anything where there's a big crowd and there's everyone shouting, you just want to shout and go with it, don't you? Don't you? Ah, there you are. You can feel the pressure, can't you, of crowds. I mean, some of us don't really like a lot of people. But, you know, when you're caught up in it, especially in the streets of Jerusalem, for anyone who's been there, they're so narrow that actually you can't help but get dragged along with what's going on. And you can smell the smells. You know, all those people together. On a nice, hot Jerusalem day. But have I set the scene for you now? Are you all? Yeah, you're all with me. That's brilliant. You know, perhaps we could shout out ourselves, like as we read, those who went ahead, those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. I've spoken on this event on many Palm Sundays from each gospel account. And every time I reflect on these words, I can't help but feel that despite the elation, it's tinged with sadness and with challenge. It doesn't last long. It doesn't end up as they expect. They don't really know what they're getting into, and what they may get demands more than that they're willing to give. And if we put ourselves in the positions of the disciples, of Jesus' followers, that might be the same for us. It might demand more than we're willing to give. Do we really know what we're letting ourselves in for when we follow Jesus? Wouldn't it be great and easy if we could just stop right here in the midst of the jubilation, that we could wave our palms, we could sing our hosannas, we could offer our blessings and then go to lunch? Yeah, that we don't face the week that's about to come. But it's not that easy. Today is the gateway to Holy Week, the last few days of Jesus' earthly life, and it's not an easy week. For some traditions, the palms in our hands today will become the ashes that mark their foreheads next year. Triumph, it seems, isn't always what we think it is. I know that I come to this day year after year with more questions than answers. But that's exciting because that's what God's word does to us if we're prepared to open it. I come with that joy and the anticipation and hope. But I also come with some trepidation, resistance, and fear. I want to trust and follow the Christ, the one who is the way. But I'm not sure about the suffering, and I'm definitely not sure about taking up my cross daily. Holy Week brings that reality home. If we truly understand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah and what triumph really looks like, we might well have some questions about carrying our palms. If we realize where this parade is going, what it will ask of us, we might want to pause and take another look. Today is called Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord, to give it its full title. We just abbreviate it to Palm Sunday. It is a significant part of the Christian liturgical year, marking the beginning of Passiontide, a period focused on the suffering of Christ. Jesus is making his move. As I often say, we follow a movement, not a monument. People are in front of Jesus, they're behind him, they're to the sides of him, they're shouting their hosannas. They're throwing down their branches and their cloaks for him to ride on. They are, in today's terms, metaphorically rolling out the red carpet. There's excitement and there's anticipation. This Jesus thing is really going somewhere. Something big is happening. Jesus rides into Jerusalem, we read. He enters the temple. Mark tells us that he looks around at everything and then he leaves. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought that was a bit strange and a bit of an anticlimax. Ending the triumphal entry, that makes me think there is something significant here in those actions. I said, for those who read the cover-to-cover Bible, it's really handy at this time of year and at Christmas because it lumps all the accounts together. So you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And I said earlier that over the years, I've looked at all the accounts and put all the similarities together, but also that which is different, because each of the gospel writers tell us something different. And so this is unique to Mark, that Jesus looks around at everything. In Matthew, we read that the whole city is in turmoil when Jesus enters. He goes to the temple and he drives out those who are buying and selling. He overturns tables and chairs. In Luke, we read that Jesus weeps over Jerusalem and then enters the temple again, where he drives out those who are buying and selling. In John's account, which we had last year, Jesus doesn't even go into the temple, because he cleansed it at the beginning of John's gospel, so he doesn't need to go again. Instead, he enters the city and begins teaching, as we thought about last year. It's only in Mark's gospel that says Jesus entered the temple, looked around, and left. There is so much that can be said about today and the coming week. But does it need to be said? Would it make a difference? I think I've come to believe that over time, that the Holy Week story is not a story to be explained or to be understood. It's a story that's to be embodied and lived. So maybe today is the day to slow down, to reflect, and to take a look at everything. Isn't that what Jesus does? In the middle of that tension, we embody and live it, each differently and each walking alongside its profound calling of us. Jerusalem, the temple, those places formed the centre of Israel's religion during Jesus' day. These were the places where Jesus was rejected. In that bittersweet moment of joy and ominous anticipation, Jesus looked over those cherished places of God's chosen people. Little did the people of Jerusalem understand that a mere 40 years later, those cherished places would be destroyed. Even less did they realize that this Jesus, the one that the leaders of Jerusalem tried to destroy and that Jerusalem rejected, is the Son of David. He is God's Messiah. He is King of Kings. He will return in glory and honor and power, but not on this late afternoon as he visited Jerusalem. No, Jesus simply turned and went out to Bethany with his 12 closest followers. The conflict waited to begin on another day. If that's what Jesus maybe did, maybe we should too. Maybe we need to look around at everything before we go any further into this week. We realise that our Lord Jesus has come to the time of fulfilment. And now he knows that he must follow through with the mandate that's been given to him by his Father. Certainly from this point, he must continue to proceed one step at a time and one day at a time. Mark adds, because it's late, that the Lord Jesus left the city and returned to Bethany. We see that same zeal and longing that remained with him throughout his life was still there. But longing and zeal must be coupled with patient obedience. Isn't that the same with our service for God? Sometimes we want to be doing it all now. Gee, God said, let's go do it. But actually, sometimes God said, I'm going to prepare you. Wait. Come to me. Let me prepare you, equip you. The Son of God must bring forward that fulfillment as the one who is also the Son of Man. And so perhaps you can picture the way that Jesus is looking around at that temple. It's in a deep and intent looking that actually, if we read through the Gospels, Jesus often just stops and looks. We do sometimes, don't we? We can't quite believe what we're seeing, or when we want to actually understand something, we do take and we do look around and think, oh. So just what did Jesus need in order to proceed with that final intense week leading to his death on the cross? As he looks at everything, he is assured that his hour has come. For he sees the altar and he sees the dividing curtain, the mark of the segregation between God and man due to sin. He realizes that in his heart he is the one to bring down the curtain. Indeed, as we read, to have it torn in two. Our Lord Jesus is obedient to the call given to him by his Father. We will read next week sometime that the dividing wall of partition was broken down, giving us access to the throne of grace. When the curtain in the temple was torn in two, the fulfillment in Jesus became himself as a willing high priest and sacrifice for the sins of his people. It was his great love for the temple that led him to see how he was the fulfillment of the earthly temple, how he had to break with the earthly temple in order to place his body as a pure offering, an eternal sacrifice before God, through which justification and life is given to all of those who believe. So that is all that was, a last look, nothing less, nothing more. We read that after his resurrection that Jesus never visits the temple again. And in his final week, he also prophesies the destruction of the earthly temple. When Jesus entered the temple and looked around at everything, he was looking into the very heart of the people. And I think that's what our Lenten journey is about. As we begin Holy Week, dare we ask our Lord to look around at everything that's in our hearts? What are we carrying? Pain, guilt, regret, loss, sorrow. What are the sins, the things that are done or the things that are left undone? that chain us to the past. My study notes tell me that Jesus looked around at everything in the temple area, not as a pilgrim, but as the sovereign Lord, who, as Malachi prophesied, will suddenly come to the temple. He looks around at the centre of religious life to see if it is fulfilling its purpose of leading people to true worship of God. And we know the answer. It wasn't, because that's why Jesus went to the cross, for each and every one of us. It suggests that Jesus didn't just look around at everything, turn away and then leave, but that he looked at everything so that he might take it with him and carry it with him through this Holy Week. And so must we. Jesus left nothing behind, and we mustn't either. What we refuse to look at and bring to this week cannot be healed, cannot be restored, cannot be renewed, recreated, or resurrected. So what will each one of us carry into this week? What will we bring and offer? It takes courage to heal, to be restored, to be renewed. Hence the fear, even dread, of transformation. But that's what Holy Week makes available. It takes courage because it requires us to leave behind the baggage that we carry. And so the triumphal entry isn't just about the donkey ride or the palms or the hosannas. The triumph is taking a look around at everything and leaving nothing behind. Can we pray as I did at the start of the service? May our eyes be open to see him. May our hearts be ready to be seen by him. May our worship be worthy of his presence. And may we be transformed so that we see the world through his eyes. The earthly temple is gone, but in him the heavenly temple is ours. We may be cleansed from sin in the eternal offering of his heavenly body, and we may also be nourished by life eternal. We may share the life of him who came to fulfill the temple, making himself a new and heavenly temple for each one of us. He looked around at everything, and he followed through. This remains our joy all of our days. Jesus leads us through this week, and we will follow, for he is the life that we long for. He is the word who sustains us. We wave our palm branches in anticipation. We lay our love before him to cushion his walk, setting aside all glory, power, and might. He comes, modeling humility and obedience for all of us. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's relatively easy for us to distribute palm crosses today. And we can easily find music and a few good words to help us to remember and to reenact Palm Sunday. But what if you arrived inviting us to really lay down something important to us? To acknowledge your arrival. What if we knew the imminence of the danger that accompanies you, or sensed that the authorities were watching us as we worship? How then, Jesus, would we meet you today? And what would we spread before you? And how would we regard humility from the one that we hope will save the world? Palm Sunday, Jesus, help us to see how and where you enter our world today, and what you ask us to lay at your feet, and how we welcome you. And while we're in an attitude of prayer, please pick up your palm crosses as we pray using them. For those who've been here before, you'll remember how we do this, I'm sure. Hold the cross in your right hand and place your left thumb on the left cross piece. And we're going to pray for the world. Loving God, we thank you that your peace reaches into every situation across our world. We pray, Lord, that you would be close to those places that need peace this day. Lord, in the silence of this time, we bring to you those places that are on our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so place your left thumb on the right side of the cross piece. And we pray for people in need. Loving God, we thank you that your hope reaches into every situation. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill or sad or lonely or grieving this day. And we name them in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Place your left thumb on the base of the cross piece. Lord, we pray for our communities, for those places where each of us live. Loving God, we thank you that your joy reaches into our homes. Help us to know that you are with us every day. Help us, Lord, to be light in our communities, sharing your word with all that we would come into contact with. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Place your left thumb on top of the cross piece. We pray for those who lead in the church and teach us about Jesus. Loving God, we thank you that your love is shared through your church universal. We pray that you would give wisdom to those who help us to know the good news of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so place your left thumb in the center of the cross piece as we pray for ourselves. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus and the love that he has shown to each one of us. As we have read your word this morning, as we have heard your word preached into each of our hearts, Lord, take us, melt us, mold us, shape us, restore us. Help us to follow you more and more each day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We open our eyes to see his glory. We open our ears to hear his wisdom. We open our hands to offer him gifts. We open our mouths to sing his praise. We open our hearts to offer him our love. He is Lord. Amen. Please take your palms with you as a symbol of peace and perhaps pray through the week using them. And so, as we come to our final hymn, number 41, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, because there is a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's sing together. Thank you. Let's pray. Ride on, Lord Jesus, upon a colt, over cloaks, under branches. Ride on, Lord Jesus, towards a city, through its gates, past the crowds. Ride on, Lord Jesus, as hosannas fade and enemies sneer, as danger closes and friends falter. Ride on, Lord Jesus, showing the way, teaching the truth, bringing life for all. In the name of the Lord, ride on, Lord Jesus. Amen.